I'm doing it. I was going to make a Mariah Carey glitter joke because I brought my wife's tea mug, but now I'm doing the offering, so we're going to be a little more serious than that. Thanks. Lord, bless the offering. Bless us to be generous, but also courageous and joyful, and not just here tonight, but as a lifestyle, that you would show us challenges in giving and that we would take risks, and then you would show us what you did with what we gave. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Offering! Woo! I am kind of a Mariah Carey fan, at least up until I'd say like 95, 96. Mariah Carey, like Daydream record. Big fan of a couple songs at least. I think there was there rollerblades in one of the videos? I don't remember if that was Celine Dion or what, but I'm just saying, I have a little tiny spot in my collection for divas and great pop hits. Most don't make it into the collection, but when they do, they're there for good. So, hey, now you guys feel like you know me a little bit. Probably weren't thinking that's what we'd start with tonight. But here we are. Daydream. All right. So we talked about Japan. That's really exciting, meeting folks who love the Lord in Japan. Man, does anybody seen the videos they posted of the powder? Oh, man, it's time to make a trip. They apparently have a little tiny bit of room, so if any of us want to go visit, we actually can. So that's pretty awesome. We also have a couple lighthouses in Switzerland that we're going to talk about for a moment. There's a small group that's just started up in Zurich, in just outside of the city. I believe that neighborhood is called Oberland. That's how you pronounce it if you're from here. But Cam and Mel have been a part of Lighthouse for a long time, and God really put it on their heart maybe 6 months ago. We've got to build some community where we are. And so we've been Skyping and meeting with them online, and they fired it up maybe November, I think, was the first meeting. And they've been gathering the people that are around them who are also hungry to go deeper. And so that is a small group that's just started up. And then there's another lighthouse in a really, really nice ski resort called Lox. It's three towns, Lox, Flims, Falera. They kind of wrap around the mountain. The ski mountain is for sure one of the best I've gotten to ski on. It's massive. It goes forever. And Porsche designed one of the chairlifts, so it's heated, it has music, it's all leather like a racing car seat, and all of the chairs, I think it's a six person, actually turn as you go up the chair to make sure that you get the best view as you ascend the mountain. It's nuts. We have photos on our blog if you dig back to the ministry school, I don't know, a year and a half or 2 years ago. But anyways, I'm telling you about those two parts of our Lighthouse family because I want to show you a little tiny video. And what do you need to know about the video? You need to know they're Swiss, they're from different lighthouses. Oh, and fun is a core value of Lighthouse. All right, could you guys roll that?
Guidance in that, in our big life decisions, and we've been able to get to see the provision and the miracles that God does when you do what He says to do.
And in 2015, I'm most thankful for being able to travel for a whole month and enjoying each other and friends that whole time.
And
2016, I think God is gonna keep going with getting people ramped up for his kingdom and here in Switzerland, and I'm so excited to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in 2016, I think that God is not changing the church, but uniting young Christians especially. Yeah, and really firing them up, and we are expecting a big move of God to happen in Switzerland in 2016.
Woo!
Later.
Hey. Ich bin mega dankbar, dass wir heiraten können.
They just got married!
Oh! And I am thankful that I became a nurse.
It's more. Ja.
Ich bin dankbar für meinen Job. Ja, der beste Job auf der ganzen Welt. Genau.
He said, I got the best job in the whole world.
And I'm thankful for the wonderful kids at my job.
You know, we moved to Lighthouse... We moved the Lighthouse Church to this one absolute amazing spot called Living Room. Mm-hmm. A coffee shop, very fancy and very cool.
Huh? Come and visit.
Yeah. I'm thankful for being able to live in the mountains.
I am very thankful for four people who moved up here, Marlin and Matt, and Doris and Hirschi.
Yes. I'm thankful for the journey God took us on last year. So we ended up here in Flint!
I am thankful for the Lighthouse family here in Flims.
Lux.
Switzerland.
Yeah. 2016 is gonna be a year full of
courage,
greatness,
peace,
freedom, fruitfulness,
extraordinary miracles.
And new beginnings!
Happiness!
And the impartation
of
yodeling.
All right. So anyways, if you're new, welcome to Lighthouse again. That's exactly who we are. And it's kind of fun to see what other people are sensing that God's saying about this upcoming year. And it's also fun to take a moment and look back at the last year and be thankful. So we wanted to kind of keep that rolling through January, just being in that spirit of gratefulness so that we can be on point, so that we can be focused on Jesus. And but then also, we don't want to stop at being thankful for last year. We want to be looking forward and dreaming and believing for amazing things that we haven't seen, that God has promised. And so it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of world changers here tonight. And I'm talking to you. So don't be afraid to let love out, whatever it looks like in your life. If you're an artist, make people's minds flip inside out when they see or encounter your creativity. Or if you're an athlete, just send it. If you're building something, just ask God if he has any hints for ways that this could be an encounter, like architecture that just transforms people. Because it happens to me. I'll just be going through a neighborhood, even here in Mammoth at times, with my wife on a walk or whatever, and just be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. what is that? How did they, you know, and we'll just have this whole conversation about how amazing is that design or that creativity or whatever. And part of what we're going to talk about tonight has to do with yodeling on the mountains, but also the creativity of the Father and just how detailed his love is. And so it's going to be fun. I wanted to start with a postcard. This is a mountain in Canada. It's called Mount Edith Cavell. It's in the Rockies. If you've ever been to Jasper National Park, you've probably seen it. And I actually will have the big slide up later, but I've had this postcard since I was a kid. And my cousin is basically my exact same age. His name is Colin. And there was this picture on his fridge. He lives in Jasper. And there was this picture on his fridge when I was growing up, and it was his dad with these really cool glacier sunglasses on, and he was standing on this little tiny piece of snow. It's probably like 8 or 10 feet wide, and I don't know if it was 17, 18, 20 feet long, something like that. And it just looked like they had done a little hike of some sort, and they were excited about it. It was a selfie from like the early 80s. Can you believe that? But anyways, I didn't know for most of the years that I saw that photo on the fridge, but that was actually him standing on the little tiny top of this little tiny mountain. Or it's actually a massive mountain, but it's a little tiny piece of snow. And they had hiked up there. And that's one of the most stunning mountains I've ever seen. And I just love thinking about the mountains. It's not all about the mountains. I love the city. I love the prairies or the plains or the rolling hills. I love jungle for like an hour or two. I love when the mountains meet the sea, you know. Sometimes that happens, like Vancouver. I've heard Cape Town or somewhere in South Africa is a bit like that. But just some of the different things that God's created are so profound. And so from that place, we're actually going to read in Psalm 21 together. So if you want to flip there. This is a really interesting psalm, and one of my most easily accessible, because I heard a worship song when I was a kid and I memorized the song, and so now I know basically the whole passage. But it's such a fun passage for us. You're going to see why in just a second. Psalm 121, verse 1. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. That is good news. That's really good news. So the first verse, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Is really an important starting place. And we don't all live in the mountains. We don't all have access to beauty like perhaps people who live in Mammoth quite as easily. But I think it's really important for us to try to be open in our hearts to what God's created and to try to let it inspire us, to let it lift our eyes up to the Lord and to what he's doing. And so I've got sort of just a little slideshow that'll just be playing in the background of some of the mountains that are around here, as well as some of the ones that have impacted me the most. And some I've never seen because Cody has been to places I've never been to. And so if you see some really cool drone footage or time lapses or whatever, I had nothing to do with it except for copying the file onto the computer at the back. But I just want to just have a little bit of this kind of going to draw some of our attention to some of the amazing things that God's done. And one of the things that's really interesting about the start of the psalm is it's a question: where does my help come from? And so there's a lot of folks that are amazing. People in my life, I'm sure you know different ones, who look at creation and they appreciate how amazing it is and they stay there. That's it. That's as far as it goes. And so it's almost like you could hack just the beginning of the verse. I lift my eyes up to the mountains, and it's almost like the mountains are where my help comes from. That's the mountain I was talking about that my uncle was standing on the tip of. But that's not the full story. It would be almost like celebrating that Jesus died, which is good news. It's awesome. It's amazing. But it's not the whole story. We don't stay there. And so if we appreciate the beauty and we love the lake or the fern or whatever the climate that you get to live in is, but we never go beyond that. We never let it lift our gaze, lift our hearts to the Lord. We're going to miss out. And so wherever you live, whatever it looks like, whichever part of God's creation inspires you, put a little arrow in the verse in your Bible and put a little comic bullet point, you know, just for what it looks like for you. Because not everybody, like I said, has access to the hills or the mountains. And there's a few worship songs. I think they came out fairly recently by the United Pursuit Band that I can't get out of my rotation. There's three songs. My sister gave them to me, so I don't even know which record they're on. But it's super funny listening to them because they're obviously not from Mammoth or Vancouver or anywhere that has mountains, because they say things like this. So take me back to the beginning when I was young, running through the fields with you. We do have one field. It's hidden back in Shady Rest if you live here. But that's not the thing. And so, I'd love to meet them or have coffee at some point with whoever the songwriters are and just go, tell me about the fields. Tell me about your encounters with God when you were young, or what did it look like for you? Because those aren't my experiences. The fields aren't the ones. I played soccer on a field, but it was at the base of a sweet mountain. We go up the mountain and ride, you know, or hike or whatever it was. And so what does it look like for you? What is that part of God's creation that for you could be the mountain that inspires you to begin a conversation along these lines, but keep you going towards encountering the Lord or having a revelation of something? Sometimes when I sing along in the car as I drive to that song, in my head, in New Zealand and maybe other parts of the world, they call ski hills ski fields or powder fields. So sometimes in my head, I add in the word powder fields. Take me back to the fields, you know, running through the powder fields, skiing through the powder with you. There's another line in one of the songs that's been striking me a lot lately, and it's not specifically related to mountains, but it's a statement of trust and a statement of faith. And if you've been hanging out with us the last few weeks, we've been talking a bit about trust and what does that look like. And the phrase is this, someone speaking to the Lord, I trust your heart and your intentions. How do you like that? That's a level I haven't heard, a level of description I've not encountered a lot in worship songs. I trust your heart. We sing that all the time. But to say, Lord, I trust your intentions, that's hard to say some days. It's hard to sing along with It Is Well some days. I think that was the last song we sung together tonight. Because it doesn't feel well, and it doesn't look well, and it's overwhelming in its unwellness at times. But to be able to, again, to be able to bring our hearts back to what's actually true, it's going to be very well, regardless of how it feels. Last week, I believe last week or the week before, Dave Nelson jumped up at the end, and he said a couple really interesting things about forgiveness. And one of the things he said was, I don't always feel like forgiving. But it's not, we're not called to feel like forgiving. We're called to forgive because that's who Jesus is. And I love that. But I think that concept translates outside of just the realm of forgiveness. I think it translates to the it is well discussion. I think it translates to walking in peace. But I don't feel peace. You're not necessarily just called to feel things. You're called to do it. Or here's one, love. Jesus said some scary stuff about love. Can you think of any scary things he said? Just fire them out. Throw them at me. Say them out loud. Love your enemies. Why would he do that to us? Isn't revenge or crushing your enemy so much more rewarding? Love those that persecute you or spitefully. Yeah, he said some scary stuff about love. So no one's going to go, well, we're not supposed to do it when we talk about love. But then you talk about forgiveness or a couple other categories, and it's like, well, I'm not doing that. We're not called to that. He didn't actually mean that. It's like, whoa, easy on the editing of what he said and didn't say. Like, if I was going to edit the Bible, man, there's a few stories I would take out. There's a few commands I would take out. Matthew 5, deleted. Boom. That's like the hardest thing to try to figure out and do ever. Ever. See ya. Don't want to try that hard anymore. Read it later. You'll see what I mean. He'll be like, oh man, that is hard. But we want to be a people who aren't just defined by, well, this feels great, so I'll do it. We want to be a people whose belief system, whose the foundations that we stand on, we know are true, and so we stand on them. Regardless of how it feels, regardless of what situations you end up in as a result. There's some really interesting people in the life of the church over the years. A whole lot of folks were killed very early on in the early church. I mean, like thousands and thousands and thousands. There's a book that tells a lot of martyr stories called Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you've never read a martyr story, you should check it out. But all through church history, there's been opportunities for people to decide whether they are going to do what God said or not. And in a lot of their cases, the result wasn't super fun. And sometimes in our culture, we love experiencing and feeling and having things that we love around us, or things going our way. If things are going our way, we're happy. If things are not going our way, we don't treat people well. But that's not who we're called to be. We're not called to be like fluctuating that quickly and that easily. We're called to walk in peace regardless. We're called to worship the Lord and to pray, regardless of what it feels like, regardless of what's happening. So this psalm, Psalm 121, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. It does not stop there. And I want to read you a paraphrase of this same passage. It brings a little bit of flavor out. This is Eugene Peterson in The Message. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No, my strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God is your guardian, right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. My strength comes from the Lord. That's a really good starting point. And sometimes we need the wind to blow across our face, or we need to experience the rumbling of the earth during an earthquake or standing near something like that. Not so that we stay there in that moment and go, wow, that was really wild or whatever. So that we go, wow, Lord, that was amazing. That was scary. That was whatever, fill in the blank. What's your heart today? You say you will watch over us. You will watch over our lives. Why does it feel like my life is being harmed right now? What's your heart, God? Speak to me. Show me your heart. We had some friends visiting this week, Chris Gore from Reading and Posse. And one of the things he said, I've heard many times, but I loved hearing it again. He said, you know, our theology is not to be defined by our experiences. Now, that doesn't mean it can be enhanced. That doesn't mean experiences won't stretch us or grow us or help us to experience more, but we don't establish the core of what we believe just because we did or didn't feel or experience something. Another way to say it would be, if that's how you develop what you believe, then you might want to pick up the Bible and spend some time reading through or what he teaches. Because there might need to be a few refinements or tweaks in our lives if that's where we're at. Because we will be bounced around by anything that happens. Someone who is only defined by experience is going to be defined by their culture. They're going to be defined by their next door neighbors. They're going to be defined by the boss at their job. They're going to be defined by a family member who's powerful, walks in strength and confidence. You will just be bounced around by everything. If you don't know what you believe, if you don't have a center, if you don't have something that you can come back to know if you're walking with the Lord, to know his heart. And the best way to do that is to say, Lord, show me your heart. I know you're with me. You promised the Spirit. You sent it, etc., etc. I received it. Now walk with me. Help me to know what's your heart. And the scripture is almost like the scripture is almost like the plumb line, something that is accurate, something that is sturdy to stand on, something that is worth your time. And the Spirit will open your eyes if you take the time to read scripture and will show you God's heart so that you don't have to be defined by your situation, so that you won't have to be bounced around by experiences. You can say, wow, I know this is true. Okay, now I need to learn how to get my heart to feel truth. Now I need to learn how to walk with you and believe that you are who you say you are, because right now it doesn't look or feel that way. So show me what you see. And I think it was, I can't remember who shared this, but there's a story with Elijah or Elisha in the Old Testament where, or a prophet like that, where there's a person with the prophet and they're very afraid of an army that's approaching. And the prophet says something like this, Lord, open their eyes so that this other person can see what's actually happening. And the other person's eyes are open and they see like the hosts of heaven, some kind of angelic army. And they're no longer afraid. Crazy. But so much of our life can be that. We're just looking at what we see. We're just feeling what just happened. But we're not able to go, Lord, what's your heart? What's the bigger story here? What's actually true? And then learn to walk that out. And we have to do that in relationship. This isn't a solo show. If you're running solo, it's going to be really hard. Because you need someone to grab you and pick you up when your knees are, they just can't bear any more weight. Because whatever you're experiencing is so intense. Or your perspective is so unclear. And so doing it together, doing the spiritual walk together is essential. Jesus did it with a bunch of boneheads. Like you read some of the stories and you're like, really? You could have picked anybody? Like, did you guys ever do first captain, first pick? Like back in the day? Did anybody ever play street hockey? Pick up soccer, baseball, anything where you have two teams. Okay, so there's this thing called sports, okay? And here's what happens. Thank you, Josh. Usually, two people are identified as being first captain and or the second captain, and then you pick your teams out of those people. Why was I saying that? Now all I can think about is your hat. Jesus, why did you pick those people? Thank you. I would not have picked those people. I don't want that kind of obnoxious in my life, Peter. I don't. I'm good. So he walked with people. He did real life with people. Let's do real life together. Doesn't mean we're all best friends. I'm not saying that. We can't all know each other like, you know, BFF style, whatever. Every latest update of everything that's happened in all of our lives. But we need to have a couple folks that we do walk with. And I don't know if this has been said before, but I think we need to start building a culture of feedback. a culture of feedback. Now, that is a part of a culture of honor. So some of the things we'll be studying with Danny, there's a lot of feedback in there. I've got to spend a tiny bit of time with him, not much, but enough to know what his feedback feels like, which is special, because he's not Canadian. He's not all that worried about how you feel about what he just shared with you, because what he often says is true. So you're like, oh, so what am I going to do now? But I think we do need to increase our ability to receive feedback from one another in relationships where we have built trust. Because feedback can be, it needs to be in love, but feedback can help you not fall into a tree well, because they're hard to get out of. They can be incredibly dangerous. This is a metaphor. Sometimes we need people in our lives to say, hey, have you thought this through? Have you thought about where this will lead you? This first step makes a lot of sense, but there's three more after that that you don't, you, is that what you want? Is that where you're going? We're like, oh no, goodness, I don't want that. I didn't even realize those were the options. We've got to get those people in our lives who have that ability, that chess, like, see down the road. What will happen when I move the knight this way? How will that affect the people I love? Will it help me get to where I'm going? Doing this thing together, trying to figure out, what does it look like in community? So my two questions, as we lift our eyes up and we realize our help does come from the Lord, how do we live in that reality? How do we walk in the kind of peace that Jesus walked in? How do we allow creation or the mountains or the stream to remind us of who is Lord? What does that journey look like? We had some really great stories at the end of 2015. Kathy Higard shared a story about how she, her and Phil really were struggling with peace and to find God's heart. And so I asked her the question, so how did you do it? And she said, well, we eventually realized we should probably put some worship music on. So we found a phone, found a playlist, and we started to worship the Lord together before we called it a night. And then you know what happened? What happened, Kathy? Then we remembered that our daughter was recorded down in LA, the spontaneous worship song. And so we found that, and we played that. And that prophecy, that prophetic word, that life that was sung in the song started to bring us back to God's heart. Started to warm. You know how you get so frozen sometimes? It takes a while for your fingers or your cheeks or whatever to start to thaw back out. Her description, it's like they were thawing back, coming back to warmth, coming back to what really is true, what really is God's heart for us in this situation. And they got there. And so I think the answer for some of these, for some people, is going to be worship. You need to strum an instrument. You need to find a playlist or some headphones so that you can remove yourself from whatever chaos or whatever thing has just happened and just hear some truth. Some people don't like music. That's fine. So what does it look like for you? Is it a walk on a trail? Is it just quiet and watching a fire? Just crackling or embers glowing? Is it writing poetry? Do you need to find a blank piece of paper or a wall that's you have permission to write on and a Sharpie and just Sharpie it up? We've got to try to work on this. We've got to figure out what is it for each of us, because it's not going to be the same. I will almost always use music as an example or writing, but I know that a lot of people aren't there. That's not your expression. So let the mountains, let creation, stop when you see a beautiful flower. Stop and just breathe it in a little bit, unless you have allergies. Then don't. Let's move on. The Lord is our help. He watches over us now and forevermore. How are we going to live this out together? He is our right hand. He is our shade. He is our guide. What does trust look like in your life right now? What does it feel like? And are there steps that we can take so that we can realign ourselves with what we know is true? The Lord will keep you from all harm. Verse 7. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Lord, we trust your intentions. There's a starting place. Make a statement. Declare something. Write it down. Make a post-it note in the bathroom. Find some truth and start to camp out on it until it starts to become reality. 2016, a year of forgiveness, a year of prayer, a year of trusting, and anything else God is speaking to you, add it to the list. This is where we're starting the year here in Mammoth. It's time to forgive. We talked about it last week a lot. We had some prayer time to try to figure out the steps, to try to figure out how are we going to get free. So often with forgiveness, the feeling is, I can't. It's not possible. I am unable to forgive. And that's the crazy part, because we're not alone. To quote Chris, the I in you is dead. It's been crucified, co-crucified with Christ. And you have been resurrected with him. So you're not alone. You're not doing this on your own. So when you say, I can't, it's actually not entirely the full story. A fuller story would be like, I certainly don't have it in me, but you do. So let's figure out how to get there together. So if you're in that place where forgiveness is bugging you, good. It's time to forgive. I am asking that God would show us what the steps look like in each of our lives, because we've got to start 2016 free. And we're not going to be free if we think we're controlling people through unforgiveness. So if forgiveness is a big deal with where you're at, we'd love to pray for you tonight. 2016 is also, it's also going to be a large part about trust, taking new steps in trust. God has spoken things to us, and we've held on to them, a lot of us. But there are now steps to take. We're going to have to trust him. It doesn't mean we're going to get it right or that every step's going to be perfect. But we've got to start taking those steps. And we need to do it together. Again, it's not a solo thing. So what are the steps that God has shown you or that you know are in front of you that involve trusting the Lord? Let's figure out how to do those. We would love to pray for those things as well. And 2016 is a time of prayer. We had a quote a few weeks back about how through the history of the church, the Psalms really have been the prayer book. That has been the guide for how believers have prayed all the way through history. So let's let that be our prayer guide. Let's find Psalms like Psalm 121 or other Psalms that are difficult for us to feel or to believe. And let's start to pray those until they're true, until the change starts to happen. Does that make sense? A lot of churches, a lot of different denominations will have full prayer books that go through the entire year. We don't. So let's use the Psalms. I lift my eyes up, Lord, you are where my help comes from. Let's pray. 2016, a year of prayer. All right.